Hi there, RAFE. I'm Lisa Ayers, the Director of Communications at the Realtor Association of the Fox Valley, and welcome to the second edition of our new panel series, Real Estate Experience Live. This is a series created by the RAFE Technology and Communications Committee. The goal of this series is to tackle real issues in real estate with realtors. Say that 10 times fast. Our plan is to do this monthly, so please be looking for this every month. The topic we are discussing today is incredibly timely. The topic is how to find business during the holidays. But before we get into the discussion, I'd like to thank all of the panelists for joining us and sharing your knowledge. And I'd also like to thank everyone in the viewing audience for joining us as well. If you have any questions, be sure to put them in the comments and we will get to them as soon as we can. So let's get started. First, let me introduce our panelists. First, we have Ron Donovan, 16-year real estate veteran working for Keller Williams Inspire. Ron is in the top 10% club at Keller Williams. He is a member of the Agent Leadership Committee and was selected as Regional Cultural Ambassador in 2017. Ron is also a six-year member of the RAFE Technology and Communications Committee and has mentored many new realtors as they start their business, including one of our panelists. Please help me. Please help me welcome Ron Donovan. Say hello, Ron.
Hello, Ron.
Next, we have Carrie Little. Carrie is designated managing broker owner for Caremark Realty Group. She is also a social media and digital marketing strategist for the real estate industry. She speaks locally at the state and national levels. Carrie is the author of the New Real Estate Agents Journal and a new adjunct professor for NAR's new undergraduate program. You can catch Carrie on News Radio 105.9 FM on WBBM Radio for the Real Estate Minute. Please welcome Carrie Little.
Hi, everyone.
Last but not least, we have Trish Urzadowski. Trish works at Keller Williams Inspire and was featured in Chicago Agent Magazine as McHenry's Top 20 in 2019. Trish started as a new agent with Keller Williams Inspire in 2016, only 5 years ago, this January. By 2019, she had made it into the top three agents for units sold and GCI at Keller Williams Inspire. She has served on the Agent Leadership Committee at Keller Williams for 3 of the 5 years, and she has recently become licensed in Florida, where she's now also growing her business. And Trish was mentored by Ron Donovan. Fun fact. So please welcome Trish.
Hi.
And I am going to act as your moderator today. So why don't we go ahead and get started? Thanks, everybody, for joining us. And I'm really excited to see the answers to all of these questions because we have such a diverse group of people here with so many different times in their realtor career, so many different experiences. We've got an out of state, we've got a new person, we have a social media strategist. So I'm excited to see how you guys tackle these questions. So let's go ahead with our first one. How do you recommend that realtors manage and maintain their database to keep it fresh and up to date? Ron, why don't we start with you?
So keeping it fresh and up to date, I guess I always looked first to the most important touches in your database, and that's the phone calls and the texts and face-to-face when we can do that again, right? Coffee or lunch or a beverage, but I think that's the most important touch. If you miss other things throughout the year, being live and in person, however that looks, either a phone call or in person or a text, I think those are the most important things. And it doesn't always have to be about real estate. They will ask you because everyone's always curious what their home's worth or what's happening in the market. So it can always just be a personal call or a personal text. It doesn't have to do anything to remind them what you do to feed your family. So I think that's, if you don't do anything else, do that. Make sure it's a very personal you touch. Those people have chosen to do business with you because they like you, know you, trust you already. So that's your in, right?
So are you recommending that December around the holidays is a time that you go back to your database and you just kind of start reconnecting with people that you haven't reconnected with before?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so always my biggest fear is, I know this doesn't happen to Trish and it hasn't happened to Carrie, but there have been times where I realize I haven't called somebody all year or longer, right? And you're like, oh, I don't want to call them now. I haven't talked to them. But you know what happens when you call them is they're like, oh, Ron, I'm so sorry. I meant to call you by now, and but you just got busy. So it works both ways. Don't let that be a hindrance. Make sure you still make that call. Make sure you still send that text or whatever it is that that you're going to do. And right now, this year has been by far of any year that I could ever think of, to start with what we call or what I call or a care call. Just reach out. Hey, I know this has been a crazy year for everyone. I hope you're getting through unscathed. Just thinking about you. And then just be quiet and they'll talk. The conversation will ensue. So it doesn't have to be about the holidays right now. But of course, we're all thinking about that this time of year. This is when we kind of pause to reflect about the people that we haven't spoken to and wonder about how they're doing. But
that's great. That's great advice. Carrie, how do you maintain your database and kind of keep track of all of that during this time?
You know, whenever I hear the word database, I cringe because it sounds like software. It sounds like I got to do work. So, and I'm techie. So one thing I think everyone should do, whether you're new, you're seasoned, and my role has changed a little bit because I manage, is make sure that if you have a contact today, that you add that person to your client relationship management tool. And if you don't have one, your MLS, you can add that person to your MLS. The other thing I would say is if you have the ability or your CRM allows it, make sure that your social media pages have the ability that if someone fills out a form to contact you, that automatically goes to your CRM. So you can automatically follow up. And the other thing I think everyone should do when it comes to managing and or managing their CRMs or their client database is add the anniversaries. Now, it's up to you if you want to add a wedding anniversary. But when I think anniversary, I always think the house anniversary. And I always think of birthdays. So what I've done, and so as a managing broker, and I know we probably will have managing brokers watching, and my husband, he puts the birthdays in for the clients, and I put the birthdays in for the agents in the office. And every time it's someone's birthday, I get a text. So whether it's your client or whether it's you working with the agents in your office, I want to be notified because I know me. I'm never going to remember. So think about how you can maximize that database and how you can follow up, because you will need your CRM to kind of guide you and tell you what to do. The hardest thing for most of us is logging in and checking it. So, and I don't know, I think Ron might be like me. We've got two computer monitors up and my CRM is always open, just like email. So I would say make sure you're updating consistently. And my last point might be, every January scrub your list. So, and I'll probably talk about this a little bit later, but export wherever you have a list and make sure you don't have duplicates. And then again, yes, like Ron said, you'll figure out that you haven't called someone. And Ron, my challenge would be is being quiet. Here we go. I'm quiet.
Carrie, you're so funny. No, this is a time when we want people talking. We want to talk. We want to hear all this great wisdom you guys have to impose on us. But I have a question, and I don't know, for the new people in the audience and the people that might be working for smaller offices that might not have all this technology, I don't want to go off topic too much, but Carrie, maybe you can say CRMs, like where, do you have a certain one that you liked? Is there, how do we pick one of those? Like,
so let's go with budget. I would always go with, because our MLS gives us a tool that we can use consistently. Now you might not have the texting feature, but you do have the ability to email everyone at the same time and they're all blind carbon copy. So I would go with what I'm already paying for. If you do work for a boutique, and I don't want to try to push you to use a certain product, but let me say this, and I'll type it in the feed. There is a free forever HubSpot, one of the most expensive CRMs out there that anyone can use at no cost. So if you are working for the boutique, definitely talk to your designated managing broker or the educator at your office and work with the local association. But there are things you can use at no cost. Even MailChimp allows you to upload 2,000 contacts at no additional cost. And then just when you start to close deals, just budget to invest in a lot of the upgrades. That's where I would say I'd start.
Okay, great. Great. Trish, what are your thoughts on this?
As far as keeping my database fresh, I really strive to add 10 to 20 new contacts a day. And I go about that mostly by using social media. I also use our CRM with Keller Williams on putting campaigns out and ads through social media to meet new people, and then also, you know, any of my friends through social media, and calling them on a regular basis and asking them who they know, so that, you know, I can reach out to other people to add to my database as well.
That is great advice. Like having that goal of 10, what did you say? 10 to how many?
10 to 20 contacts a day.
10 to 20 contacts a day. That's an awesome, that's a tangible goal that you can give yourself every day. Do you have any other goals like that, that you would share with us, that any other just real tangible, able to touch it goals that you have daily or weekly or?
Well, I've noticed that when I do those activities daily, I am then making sure I have an appointment, you know, every day, every other day, depending on how many contacts I do make on that day. So the for my goals is to have an appointment every day, if not five days a week.
That's great, because, you know, when you look at goals, sometimes they can seem overwhelming and daunting, but when you break it down, I love that. I mean, when you break it down to a daily activity of 10 to 12 contacts a day, one appointment a day, five a week, it mm-hmm. kind of makes it easier to kind of bite off and chew, right? So that's great advice. So thank you all for that. Does anybody else have any last thoughts on that, or are we ready to move on to, oh, go ahead, Carrie.
Trish, I want to know how you block your time to get those 10 to 20 clients in your database, because especially for the newbies out there or anyone that's just, they've had to pivot because of the pandemic, what do you actually, like, how do you block your time to guarantee that you're getting those people into your CRM?
Yeah. Time blocking is key. In the morning, I usually would start earlier. I noticed that sometimes, you know, women, if they have children, they are up earlier. So I usually do my calls from 8 to 11. And if I can't reach people during the morning, then I adjust it to earlier evening, maybe just after dinner and that, to make sure I get my calls in.
Yeah. So blocking off that time, just putting it as something in your calendar every day, so you see it, you can't run from it, that kind of thing. So that's great. So let's go ahead and move on to question number two. Question number two is, do you recommend that agents pay for leads? And what are the pros and cons? Carrie, I'm going to start with you.
To the person that's never paid for a lead. So I'm going to, let's see if I can say this well. Everything works. So if you do decide to pay for leads, you have to make sure that you are following up with the lead. That's one of the number one complaints with realtors, is that we don't follow up. And if you are paying for leads, whatever platform you decide to pay for them on, you have to follow up within so many minutes. Like, the faster the person follow ups, the more likely you are to convert. But as someone that has been training the real estate industry since 2008, especially in our market, I would say if you're not paying for leads, or maybe you don't have the budget for it yet, I would say go into all of the tools that are provided to you by your local association and the multiple listing service, because the lead you paid for, you probably paid for a lead like expired or canceled. You probably paid for a lead that you probably could have received just by using the tools that you get from your MLS. Now, if I moved here from another area and I didn't have my own database, I mean, there's always good reasons to invest in a tool. And then, so if you do decide to pay for leads, you know, put a goal to it, track it, and if it's not working, then you can switch. But I am one of those people that says, work with the tools that you already pay for, master them, and if it's still not working, then invest in paying for leads. So I can't give you the cons to buying leads other than the fact that you're paying for them. And if you don't convert, that's a negative. There's everything we do works. You just have to work.
That's great. Great advice. Okay, Trish, what do you think about paying for leads?
Well, I have, I don't know if I've ever really paid for leads before, except through Facebook running ads. I suppose that would be, you know, a way to capture leads. But otherwise, I have found that my sphere of influence and social media and doing those activities every day, there's been no reason for me to buy leads.
Talk to us a little bit about the social media. What is it that you found that has worked for you?
I have a business page and I have a personal page. I usually make sure that I post on my business page every day. I will post, you know, my new listings and information, especially around the holiday. I notice that every year people are asking the same questions about the holiday and might have the same feelings of not being a good time to list. So I make sure that I am giving information on a regular basis and then sharing that onto my personal page so people know that I'm in the business.
That's great. That's great advice. Thank you. So Ron, what are your thoughts on paying for leads?
So 100% of what the other two said, I have paid for leads, and I made the mistake of exactly what Carrie said not to do is follow up. So I didn't have a system in place. And so that was money just washed away. So my new attitude then became, until I am 98% in my database, like completely knocking it out of the park there, I don't have the right to spend any money on any other type of lead generation. So that's my goal right now. My business has always been 80%+ past clients and referrals anyway. So, and I think almost all of us are that way. There's probably some exceptions, but for the most part, your business comes from people that you already know and have worked with in the past or just know from the past. So until I'm knocking it out of the park in my database and my sphere, I'm not organized enough to do anything else right now. I'm swimming as fast as I can with just that little bit. So, but as Carrie says, if you've got a system, there's people that are knocking it out of the park paying for leads. So track the money, you know, how much did you put in and what did you get out of it, and make sure that's the return that you want.
Great. Thank you for that. Are we ready to move on to question three? Anybody have anything to add? Okay. Question three, what are the best ways online to be sure that you are reaching out to your sphere of influence on a consistent basis? Trish, we're going to start with you. What are your thoughts on that?
What are the best ways online?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess I'll be touching it again. Sorry. It's going to be social media for sure is, you know, what I'm really best at as far as online goes. And then, you know, email campaigns as well. I send those out on a regular basis.
So what kinds of things do you put in your email campaigns?
Just information about the market mostly. People like to hear statistics and, you know, your what's going on in the area that you are working in. like right now for the holidays, it would be holiday events. They like to hear all that information. So that is what I would add.
So do you do, I'm just trying to dive a little bit deeper into your email strategy. So do you have different lists? Do you separate, or do you just do one email to your entire list right now? Or do you segment it out a little bit?
It's usually the same.
Okay.
For everyone. Yep.
All right, great. Mm-hmm. Okay, Ron, what are your thoughts on how do you, what are the best ways that you've used online to get in contact with your sphere?
I am not a great online person. I do have a Facebook business page, and I pay someone to update my Facebook business page. I am social media and me, I just, it hasn't clicked with me yet. I totally understand it's a fantastic tool to stay in front of your sphere and your database. And that's kind of what I do. So I promote new listings. I promote open houses. I've done a few Facebook Lives from open houses. I definitely think that's something that I need to do more of. I think I need to do just more video in general on Facebook. And I think you can do video on Instagram too. I don't know how Instagram works. But it's an awesome, awesome tool. And it's something that I haven't fully gotten comfortable doing yet. So your next person is going to have much better ideas here than I have for online.
You're right. That's why I'm like, Carrie's going last because she has all the information. So go ahead, Carrie, let it rip.
Let me say this. It works for Trish. Like it really, like the coolest thing about social media is that it's leveled the playing field, meaning if you use it, you can generate a lead. And it really doesn't even matter which age group, because people like my mom, who's in her 70s, she won't comment on social media. When she does, we're calling her like, please take that down. But when she does comment, she calls us. So you can still generate leads from people no matter which demographic. And Ron, listen, you're like my husband. He's like, Carrie, I'm not doing social media. And then he went and got his bachelor's degree and they made him. And now he's addicted to TikTok and Instagram. And I don't know how, but somehow a Corvette ended up in our driveway from Instagram. So I'm not saying that you should go there for that, but that could help. Okay, so here we go. So I really do connect really well with my network. So let me give you some history. So we still connect. There's a group of us from grade school. We not only connect on social media, but then we bring it to real world. So we'll connect on social media using Messenger. So private groups on social media to connect with old friends, my old high school, and then we will meet offline. So since outside kind of closed a few weeks ago, we haven't met in person. So we're going to do a Zoom. The other thing that I do on social media is I literally go live every Friday on Instagram. Every Friday, 9 a.m., people are expecting it. I had 70 people on that live on Friday, which was really kind of cool. Usually real estate agents and consumers watch, which has caused me to generate new leads and opportunities to talk to people that are looking to get their license and to convert them to maybe coming to the company or even just having a conversation. I like the idea, Ron, of having going live with your listings. And you don't even, and so what I encourage our agents to do, even though, because I don't really list or work with buyers anymore, is don't just think you have to go live for the whole house. This is where, Ron, you're going to put on your baker's hat and maybe get creative and just stand in the kitchen and then go live and talk about how this gourmet kitchen works or how to work with a kitchen that doesn't have all of the bells and whistles of a gourmet kitchen. And the other thing that I have done is I have a private Facebook group for buyers. I've always had it, but it really forced me to use it in March when we had a shutdown. So now I will go live there and I might premiere something that I've pre-recorded to that group so people think I'm always there or live, because we still need to work with our agents. We still need to work with buyers and sellers. So I don't have to be there all the time. So I do use my email I do have segmented lists, you know, those top clients, people that are likely to refer to me. We send an email every single month to our sphere. And I do, what's cool is I have someone that is in New York and she was like, okay, Carrie, I think it's time to sell that house here in Illinois. So people do still respond. So you got to follow up via email. And yeah, I think, I think that's really pretty much it. And I've used it. So if I do create video, and I used to edit television once upon a time, so I really do understand video. I have been really trying to intentionally build out my YouTube channel. Talking to the next generation at a women's council event, a buyer said, we don't need you. That next generation, I was like, you don't? And they said, well, we need you to get us through the process. We can figure out how to find the house. So one of those buyers that was working with one of the agents with Women's Council said, I love it when I can go to YouTube to learn something about the community, about the neighborhood, about the process of home ownership. So here I'm going to give you my tip of what I recently did. So I had someone reach out to me from high school. Hey, I have someone that wants to buy a house. Can you reach out? I sent a message. Hey, this is Carrie. I'd love to talk to you. She sent me a message the next day, which was Monday. I'm ready to start the process. What are my steps? I said, well, are you available to talk? She said, no, I'm a principal of a school. I'm on Zoom all day. I said, okay, great. If you send me your information, I'll send you a loan officer. I'd like you to start the process. But in the meantime, I'll send you my link to YouTube so you can get the steps of home ownership. And so, yes, I did not have those steps. So I created a video just for her, but it is now sitting on YouTube. So there's so many ways to reach the consumer and connect, even whether it's our sphere or not. That did come from someone from high school, my sphere of influence, someone I already know, but it was being able to give them what they need now. The next generation is the figured out generation. Those five-year-olds are always on their mobile device. They even now not just use their mobile device in kindergarten, they're faster than us. So we have to figure out how to keep up. So Ron, I like the idea that you're paying someone, but I bet you could use Hootsuite for free.
That is, yeah, so much great information, Carrie. I mean, and yeah, and to be honest, I mean, and wouldn't you guys all agree that this is the time, if you are not comfortable with these mediums, now is the time to do it while we're all kind of in this like semi-lockdown where we can't communicate any other way, really, because people, you know, even though you're going live, I know that seems intimidating, but, or you could be going live and not see anybody on your live. It doesn't matter. People catch you on the replay. People catch you, you know, will start to look for you after a while. And I don't think that people really care about the quality or what it, you know, it's just a really great time for beginners to just kind of jump in. Wouldn't you guys say? Yeah.
I really do push video. It did help that I edited video and I think I talk more than most. Just saying. And so I had a couple of agents. They were like, Carrie, I'm so nervous. I'm like, interview someone. Take the nerves out by interviewing someone. And so one of these agents interviewed someone and she had three leads from just interviewing someone. And now her phone is constantly ringing. There's another agent that she does a video every single Wednesday. She hasn't gone live yet. I'm like, please go live. She's like, I'm not ready. But every Wednesday she puts out a video and her phone is constantly ringing. She says, Carrie, a lot of them are still credit repair. I'm like, that's okay because we can fix their credit, then get them into a home. And then I have another agent and she's one of my older agents, came back to the industry from the 90s. And she's like, Carrie, I look terrible. It's not working. I said, I don't care. Stop looking. Stop replaying the video. Just post it. She posted it and someone reached out to her to start the buying process. She was so nervous about how she looks. No one cares about how you look. They just want to be able to hear you.
Exactly. And they want to be able to hear you. And even though whatever you look like, and I know we're all so just self-conscious about what we look like, I think they want to see you too. And what I've been learning is that just with my work with the association is that Facebook likes faces, you know? And so when you put your face out there, it somehow bubbles to the top. You know, we're always trying to keep up with that Facebook algorithm and you know what I mean? And it just, we're always trying to keep up with that. And we're just, you know, Facebook was meant for faces, hence the name. So just get out there. I know it's hard. No one wants to, you know, people are always just self-conscious about what's going on, but people want to see you. They want to hear from you. They're excited. They haven't seen you in a long time. And that just, you know, that gets a whole other connection for you. So this is great. We could talk about this online thing, I think, all day long, but I think we need to, I think we need to move on. So our next question is, what are the best offline activities that you've used to keep clients connected to you as their most trusted resource and realtor? Who has not gone first in a while? Trish, do you want to take this one on?
Sure. Offline, I do a lot of handwritten notes. And actually, first, I want to just say, I just learned a ton from Carrie and both Ron before I go on, because that was really good information. And that's one thing I didn't dig into yet was the going live on Facebook. So it's very nerve-wracking for me. But I love the interview part that I wrote all these down. So thank you for that. As far as offline, I do a lot of personal handwritten notes. I'm always reaching out to people in that regard. And also with growing my business in Florida now, I do a lot of, even just to introduce myself to new people, I do a lot of door hanging bags. I'm not actually going door to door just yet, but just recently I've been doing door hanging bags with information on the area, market statistics on different neighborhoods. I leave candy in the bags and stuff. So I've been doing a lot of that. And that's really good exercise for me too. And the weather's perfect here. So also offline, all the phone calls, you know, reaching out to people, like Ron had said in the past, reaching out to people, even just to see how they're doing. Is a great way to keep in touch.
That's great. Carrie, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are Trish is in Florida. That's where I went. Ron went the same way. I was like, oh my gosh, she's in Florida. Man, because it's cold
Let's just pause on that for a second, right?
I was like, and what, you know, we need to know so we know where to refer business to. Where are you in Florida?
I'm in Sarasota right now.
Okay. I love the doorknob bag idea. And what's cool about that is, and it's hard for me to get my husband to do it. And now that the kids are between the ages of 18 and 30, they're like, we're out. But that's how I started my business, is doorknob bags. I took over the subdivision where I bought my townhouse. It took me 7 months. And someone called me from a 2003 newsletter, Trish. That stuff really works. And this was in 2017. She was like, Carrie, I kept your flyer and I called the old office you were with and they said you weren't there. So I Googled you. It's like, awesome. So here are my my offline tips. Dropping off gifts is a big one. Now, this year we were going to go with pies. And then I was like, you know what? It's too hard because I would have to go get them, drop them off. I could have had people come to the office. So we switched this year to dropping off candles to past clients and clients that were currently in the process of selling. So we did that. I still would go, every year, even though most of us have stainless steel refrigerators, I still mail that calendar. Everyone always wants it. They're always looking for it. And then because we're not having a holiday party, I haven't decided if we should do a holiday party virtually yet. Not necessarily with the office, but with our friends and family. So we haven't really thought that out yet. And we always think Christmas. We always think Hanukkah. We always think Thanksgiving, the holidays that we know. But not everyone celebrates the holidays. But everybody likes a Valentine's card. So you could think outside the box. And then they're not getting anything in the mail. So we get many cards, although I still think you should send your holiday cards because we still like them. And some people think, oh, I'm not going to send them. I would still send them. But I would think outside the box, what can you do differently? And Trish, I'm working on the handwritten notes. I'm working on it. They're all right there on the wall. I'm trying.
I know that is something that it takes a lot of time, but when someone sends you one, you tend to keep it, don't you? I mean, I don't know. I've received a couple of handwritten notes and I keep them all because I'm like, this is almost like a dinosaur that I'm looking at, you know, but it's awesome. I mean, so yeah, everybody's got their method. Ron, what do you do offline?
Yeah, a handwritten note is huge. I mean, when's the last time you got one from anyone but maybe your grandmother, right? Nobody really does that. So that's huge. Handwritten notes, I usually do that after I've talked to them on the phone and just say, hey, it was great to catch up. Hope that your new puppy works out or whatever the news you learned about them in that phone call. I love door knocking. We haven't been able to really do the actual knock on the door this year. We held off. The first door is hard and then it's fun after that. I've only been yelled at twice in lots and lots of doors. It's people, they're surprised why you're there. Normally I do door knocking around inviting people to an open house and they're surprised to be invited. And it's a great way, especially as Carrie said, so she took over a neighborhood in 7 months. That would be one way to do it, right? Is start door knocking and then on that first listing, door knock the heck out of that. Invite all those neighbors, those sellers. They see you out there working hard because they haven't had their door knocked on by what maybe a siding salesperson and a window salesperson. Those are the people that come to my house. But it's never anyone to invite me to an open house to ask my opinion on pricing and condition and tell us what we can do to really make this home sell. And then Popeyes are great. I've been doing just a lot of mail since knocking on doors in COVID and leaving things on door handles. Maybe not so. I've been using the mail, so I've mailed out a bunch of my pens. I have a little tickler in my database to tell me to at least once a year send a really fast, quick CMA to everybody who's ever bought a house with me. So if they get that from me once, just it can be 4 pages. It costs you, 15 minutes and 50 cents. That's a big deal. And they got it in the mail. It's in their hand. It wasn't in the email where they get thousands of those a day, right? How many emails do you get a day? How many actual pieces of mail that you want to open do you get a day?
Those are great ideas. And you know what, Ron, you mentioned Popeyes, and that was one of the topics that we were going to talk about today. We've used that to reference stopping by to potential clients, I guess is what we call that, or even past or present client homes. Do you leave something with them or what? Talk to us about what you do when you do a Popeye.
Yeah, in the past I have. So you try to do something seasonal. If it's a client, like there's clients that you become especially close with, and so you know what they like. So you might customize that for that client. It might be a bottle of something. It might not be. It might be seeds though, flower seeds, if they're gardeners in the spring, you kind of learn things. That's why I love this job is because you make, a friend of mine says, you have the best job in the whole world. You get to go out and make friends every day. And that's really, it's like true, right? We get to do that. And so you do, you learn something about that client. So if you can customize it, awesome. I have tons of friends that are into music. So there's a particular local record store that I support a lot and drop off gift cards from there. If you can make it personal, it has so much more impact, right?
For sure. Personalizing always has more of an impact.
But just showing up also has an impact. So if you got a great deal on poppy seeds, drop them all off on your past clients, hang it. It's a thinking of you and they want to know that you're thinking about them.
Right. And it's just, you brought up a great point, just doing it, whatever works for you, whatever you have access to. I mean, if you don't have the time to do all this personalization, just get out there and do it. I mean, what works is what you do, right?
Right. Yeah. We spend so much time trying to make sure something's perfect before we do it. Just do it. Just go do it. They'll appreciate that you did it. Even if you misspelled, don't misspell their name, but if you misspelled happy, that's okay, right?
You can misspell your own name. So Carrie, what are your thoughts? What do you do when you do the Popeyes of your past and current clients or potential clients?
Well, it's been a while, but like I was saying earlier, is I So we didn't do the pies this year. Well, Mark didn't, but, and he, this is just not his personality. Ron, he is good on the phone. He would prefer to call you, talk to you. So what I did while we were driving, I'm like, okay, call this person, tell them we're in the neighborhood. And he would call, and they, and a couple of the clients had COVID. We were like, that's okay. We've got a candle for you, and we're going to put it on the doorstep. And they were just thrilled. And then there was another client that hadn't heard from us in a while. And she was like, oh my gosh, Mark, I meant to call you. Wait, because he called. And then I made him go take the candle. I'm taking his picture. And then it's been a while. She was pregnant. So the little girl was in the window, like waving. I mean, there's something about just taking something to the client. And you're right, it doesn't matter what, it doesn't have to be expensive. I mean, there's so many ways. And Ron, I wrote this down. I'm like, use the local businesses, because then you can support the local businesses. But I have. I don't think you can go wrong with coffee all year round, and Starbucks has those really inexpensive reusable cups, not the expensive ones. And then you could fill it with a gift card. So he's got one. You could fill it with a gift card, or maybe you can fill it with tea and then one of those instant coffees and maybe a creamer and a sugar. Like, there's so many ways you can do this to make them creative. And we just put the candles in a bag, said Happy Thanksgiving. And we really left it at that and put Mark's business card in there. We didn't ask for anything. We just dropped off the gift. But I'll say that I do like the idea of getting rid of the Halloween candy, Trish. That's what I heard when you said putting the candy in the bag.
That's right. I didn't even think about that, but yeah, there's a repurpose that Halloween candy. Oh boy. Now I know where to give my Halloween candy to is all you guys. I need to give it to you so you can give it to people. Trish, what do you do the in-person? I mean, we talked about it a little bit, but what are some other ideas that you have for, or that you've done that you've seen success with?
I love Popeyes. I think they're a lot of fun, and I love how much, you know, my past clients and my friends love them. So I have a farm in Illinois, and so I'll do a lot for the kids too, because there's a lot of families in the farm. And so one of my favorites is 4th of July. I have, I get these 4th of July cups. They're like plastic cups that they can reuse, and that, and then I'll stuff it with suckers and sparklers and, you know, stuff like that, that is all 4th of July related. And the kids love that. And then I have St. Patrick's Day. I always do lottery cards out to, you know, my whole sphere. And, you know, for Halloween or fall, I will always kind of do candy and sometimes pumpkins. And I always wrap it with like a little thing that says my information on it and that. And people like that. So the Popeyes are always my favorite. And like Ron said, it's, you can make it seasonal and fun for, you know, all the different holidays and that. And it's a good thing to do for your people.
And I like how you do, I don't want to say the off holidays, but like you said, getting away from just like Christmas and Thanksgiving, and like, because not, I mean, 4th of July, anybody that lives in America is celebrating that. Right. And so, yeah. It's just, and it's nice outside, the weather's warm, so it's nice to get out and do that. So those are all great ideas.
And for Christmas, people can do like wrapping paper with tape and, you know, tell them thank you for wrapping up my year. So it's a good.
Great. And that lottery ticket idea, that's great too. Great too. Has anybody ever won from the lottery ticket? Have they responded back to you and said that they won money from them?
I haven't had anybody respond about winning, but I have had people respond about not winning and asking for another. So I'm always happy to give more.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. All right. So let's move on to another question. So what have you found to be, let's talk about the holidays. Let's talk about the holidays right now. What have you found to be some of your most tried and true methods for contacting people around this time? It's super busy. People are distracted, time crunched, you know, up against the clock for Christmas. Not necessarily wanting to stop and talk and chat. What are you guys, what are you doing that you've seen success with? Carrie, I'm going to start with you.
So like I mentioned earlier, the calendars, mailing the holiday card or the Thanksgiving card during the holidays, I will tell you, and this is when there was, when I worked for a bigger brokerage and there were 12 of us, we would all come up with an item of value every single month. And I like the holidays. I understand how to use Publisher and Canva. So one year, what we did instead of just sending the Thanksgiving card is we were like, pumpkin versus sweet potato pie. Try it. Like just coming up with a way to let them come up with what they liked. So that has worked. And then definitely, and not instead of, but in addition to, following up with your clients after the holidays, especially those that closed. And I'm sure Ron and Trish do this, but it's emailing or mailing out the closing statement in January. And then if they haven't closed, following up in January, because typically that's when we're like, oh, I spent too much money. Or we're, you know, we're down in the dumps, but it's just that regular follow-up. And I'm going to, Ron's idea of the quick CMA, I like that, following up in January. So I think I can get it down to one page though, Ron. And maybe the InfoSparks report for the city, maybe. So I think I might be adding that. You should see my notes. You guys should really see my notes. I have a whole new plan after all of this, but that would be my tip is, you got to figure out how to stay in touch. And we're giving you all these ideas. My recommendation is take the ideas and then make them your own. What can you do better than us? And one thing that I like about Ron saying he likes to door knock and then invite people to the open house. I mean, we could take it a step further and have the cupcake truck or the donuts truck or the coffee truck and invite them to the open house. But then there's a truck. I bet they'd come. Or even if it's in your own subdivision, just invite people over for ice cream or something. But the social distancing aspect, they don't have to come into your house. They can just stop by to get ice cream or a cup of coffee.
Those are great ideas. And it kind of goes into that kind of feeds really nicely into our last question. And Ron, I'm going to go to you first so that you can talk about what we were talking about before. And then we're socially distanced right now. We're in this pandemic timeframe. What are you doing now that is different than what you were doing? Let's just talk about how things have changed because we're in a different time right now. So what have you been doing to reach out and get in touch with your customers to get new customers now that we're socially distanced?
Part of what I've been doing, and I think a lot of us, I know Trish is doing this too, is offering our traditional in-person services, listing appointments, buyer consultations via a video call instead. And so I'm actually in the middle of putting together a much more digital version of my seller and my buyer's presentation. Carrie's got it, just to have an intro video is a great idea. That's absolutely something that it should include as the intro. And then just letting them know that in addition to having those appointments virtually, we can do so much more of the process virtually. So maybe instead of the traditional bring people into your house open houses, I've done only a couple, but it was fun. I did a walkthrough virtual open house on Facebook. I had my daughter as my camera person following me through the house. It didn't take 2 hours or 3 hours like a normal open house would. It took a half hour. We had a good time with it. It's out there living, right? Because it was Facebook Live, so it's recorded. So I think that's one of the things that we can definitely do is show our past clients and our sphere and our potential clients that we're making the shift, that we can still get the job done, but in a new world. And I think, you know, what COVID, we keep hearing this, what has happened is this, it's accelerated these changes. They were all coming. We were all probably eventually going to start focusing on not in-person consultations and listing appointments and not in-person necessarily open houses, but blasting our new listings out with a virtual casual walkthrough, in addition to maybe paying a photographer as well for something a little bit fancier. And it's instead of taking 5 years, it's today, right? So I think that's, does that answer kind of your question? I kind of went off.
It does. And no, and that's what's so great about this is that, you know, when, you know, we're just kind of like flowing in from one to the other, but no, I mean, you know, you're right. I totally agree with you that this has just accelerated things that were going to eventually happen, you know? And so it just, it forced us to start feeling comfortable with all of this. And you're right. I mean, and doing a virtual open house is a lot more efficient and probably is a much broader reach than just doing it in person. Are we going to ever get away from doing the in-person once we get back to normal? If we ever get back to normal, I don't know, but it's a great, it's a great tool to add to your toolbox, right? Is to, you know, to just do this virtual open house in addition to perhaps what you were doing in the past. It's funny. It's like, how do we refer to this in the past, now, what, you know, what, normal? There's no real word for it.
I just realized, so my son lives in Forest Park and we did not get together for Thanksgiving. We had a Zoom call with him and his girlfriend. And so my daughters were in one room on a computer and my wife and I were in another room on a computer and my son was with his girlfriend. And I thought we'd be on the Zoom call for half hour to an hour. It was 5 hours. We had a blast. So you can still really connect. My point is that you can still really connect this way. I mean, I think this is the last class that you did this way. There was a lot of great, I had a page of notes from that. This is still very effective, even though it's not the way we used to do it.
I totally agree. Trish, what do you think about, what have you been doing differently or what have you been enjoying doing, you know, that has, now that things have changed, why don't you tell us about how you're feeling about this socially distant time period?
Like Ron said, I'm offering a full virtual package now with my listings. I have noticed that as far as listings go, people still do want you to come for the most part, but you know, as long as it's offered and you know what you're doing. I will say I have not done this yet, but I saw a mega agent here in Florida do this and I thought it was really cool. Ron had mentioned about walking through a house for an open house, and I had seen her actually do a live video on Facebook sitting at her desk going through the home through the MLS. And I thought, you know, she was still, I saw a ton of people on her live Facebook and she did an awesome job. And I thought that was such a great idea. So I think that is something that I want to offer in the future. And, but I think that as time goes on, people are getting more used to it. And so they're becoming more accepting to it, and it works.
I totally agree. And you know what? And I think that the other thing that's so great about this virtual world is that it makes things accessible to everyone. You know, someone might not have been able to come to an open house because they had baseball with their kids or had little kids that they didn't want to bring, or, you know, just had a scheduling conflict. Well, you know what? Like Ron said, that footage of the open house is staying on Facebook. It's always there. People can always catch it on the replay, you know? And so it really does. I think it makes, we've even seen it at the association level with our committees. Our committees are much more highly attended than they have been in the past, not because people don't want to come to the video, you know, but come to the meetings, but you know, they've got their business to run and sometimes they have to miss meetings. We've had a lot less misses with our association meetings because it's a quick hop on Zoom and then you're done. You don't have to travel to the association, travel back. So there's definitely pluses in all of this. So, so Carrie, what are your thoughts on this virtual world?
I'm just skipping everything and going to Trisha's new idea. It's simple. It's really simple. But so during the pandemic, you know, because there was a huge shift, the one thing I did right away is I created a video, a short video, and to let people, let the our neighbors know, and where I bought my first townhouse, let them know that we were still here, and if they needed anything, let us know. So I am still all about direct mail marketing. Listings still come from the mailbox. I give it maybe 10 or 15 years where we'll see it more on social media, but listings do still come from the mailbox, at least out here in the burbs. So I sent that out. And then, you know, we've had friends, you know, that have gotten the virus. And so, you know, my husband, because he likes to be on the phone, he's like, okay, what do you want? You want breakfast, lunch, or dinner? And so we have sent food to people. It's, you know, it's the human side. It's, we probably would have picked it up and dropped it off, but now because of the Ubers and the DoorDash, it has changed the way we do a business. And you're right, Lisa, when it comes to meetings, I can be in a meeting with three different associations within half an hour of themselves because I don't have to drive to Geneva or to Downers Grove. I can just, you know, change my jacket and make it look like I was in a different room. But so yeah, we let people know we were here for them, and providing value. I like Ron's idea of reinventing how we present the CMA. Here's what we don't know. This is, and because there's so much, my way of providing value is now that we are, most of us are working from home and we're in our cars because there is some truth to the consumer still wants to see us. But Cloud CMA and HomeSnap have some tools that many of us aren't using. HomeSnap has a augmented reality where you can literally go to your listing and you can, it's like a photo, but not a photo. And then once you post it on your listing, and you have to be the listing agent, not the co-list, then they can pan through the houses if they're walking through. Doesn't cost you anything extra. And then Cloud CMA now has what is called the Live CMA. So I can build a CMA. I could present it via Zoom, Google Meet, or something like that, a few other products, or whatever product I'm using. But there's a few drop downs that allow me to just share right away. And when I share the actual live CMA, or if I email it to the client, when the client gets to the listings and they see the listings I picked, if they zoom in, they can see the entire marketplace and they can say, well, I think this one compares, and they can turn it on. It is an interactive live CMA. So you don't even have to you don't have to build anything in PowerPoint. It's actually already built and most of us don't even use it. And then my last tip would be is let your clients know. So I wrote down, I am going to do that virtual listing package. I haven't thought of that. That's a really great idea. Just let people know. It could be the same package, but we're presenting it virtually. I love that idea. But in the package, I don't know what Trish is using. My brain was thinking, reminding people that we're following the social distance guidelines and what we offer. I have a few agents that have done this well. They keep masks in their car. They keep gloves in their car. They have hand sanitizer. They've got the bleach wipes for their lock boxes. So there's so much we can do to provide value. But my top one would be learn. Learn so you can actually integrate it into the digital world. And then when outside opens back up, you can convert it back into the traditional marketing.
That's great. That's great. This has been so super informative. I know we're all taking notes. I know. We're all taking notes. All of us that are presenting are all taking notes. I want to give you guys each just a couple, like a minute to just say some last words. If you have anything, any last feedback. Why don't we just go down the line? Ron, we'll start with you.
So I would go back to just one thing that I said before, that Trish is the antithesis of. Trish has become so successful in 4 years because she would just do it. She wouldn't wait till it was perfect. She just started doing it. If the goal of the day was to put 10 people in your database, she's like, okay, that's what I'm doing. So just do it. If you don't have the perfect virtual listing presentation yet, that's okay. You have one, and 90% of your business is gonna come from people who know you, like you, trust you already. They're gonna be all right with it. I'm not saying don't treat it as a professional. You still want to show up with your sphere as a professional. You're not taking it lightly. And yet, it's going to get better. Today's the worst your listing presentation is ever going to be. You're going to learn something in that appointment. You're going to add it. You're going to do it again tomorrow. You're going to add it. So don't let not being perfect stop you from doing the things that they've all just mentioned are the things that are going to get you going here and get your business launched in 2021.
That was great, Ron. Thank you so much. So Trish, what are your last words?
First, I want to say thank you to Ron. And then I want to go into the holidays again. I think I missed on speaking about the market being, there's not a lot of competition right now. So that's a really good thing to kind of focus on this time of year on getting market share. Another than that, I appreciate being on the panel and thank you so much.
Great. Thanks, Trish. Carrie, what are your final thoughts or anything that you missed talking about or that you want to leave us with?
First of all, I'm glad to know Trish now. I'm so inspired. And Ron, thank you for being the coach. And I'm going to go with Ron. Just do it. If you are afraid to do video, think of it like this. Where do you want to be in 5 to 10 years? Would you rather that someone go to YouTube or Google how to buy a house in St. Charles and you're the person that came up because you created the video? And the cool thing about video, whether it's just you or you're interviewing someone, is that you are practicing having the conversation about whatever topic it is, whether it's dumpster diving for deals because you have an investor or people you want to help investors, or it's talking about the local coffee shop. You got to come up with something to get content out. Content is, it's king right now. And the agents that are producing the best content are the ones that are getting hired from social media. And nothing happens overnight, but it does happen over time. So just do it.
That is great. Such great advice, everyone. Ron, Carrie, Trish, thank you so much for showing up for this panel and giving our viewers such great information. Everybody's got like a whole notepad full of notes with all of these tips and tricks. So I appreciate your time, panelists, and thank you, viewers, for tuning into this episode of Real Estate Experience Live. Tune in next month in January for our next topic, which is what you should know about cameras in the home. So we will be discussing that and can't wait to get that topic going. But thank you so much for tuning in. Take care. Have a great holiday and have a great day. Take care. Bye-bye.